This program is made possible by the members of the Church Street Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina.
And I want you to take your Bibles and go to the book of Psalm, chapter 42, the Psalm, the 42nd Psalm, and I want you to look at verse 8. This morning, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I want to be a blessing. That way, if somebody texts me, you can answer it back. It's on do not disturb, but I can feel that thing right now disturbing me. Say amen right there. Amen. I hope I can help you this morning. I want to preach what the Lord has given to me out of the book of Psalm chapter 42. I want to preach this morning on the God of the night. The God of the night. Psalm chapter 42 and verse number 8. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime. And I think we can all say amen to that. That God gives that time in our life, in our journey, when the sun shines. Proverbially speaking, everything is on top. Everything is on the mountain. The kids are happy. The wife is happy. The husband is happy. The job is on point, whatever you want to say. The walk with Christ is rich, and your Bible reading is glorious, and you're praying, and everything is on top. I think we would all be able to say that we know the Lord gives that time, but notice what the psalmist says. And in the night, that's where most of us stop. Once we get to the night seasons of life, the night times in our journey, we just stop. We don't go any further. We just stop at the night. And all we think about is the darkness. All we think about is the hardness. All we think about is how it's not nearly as bright as it used to be. But notice the psalmist didn't stop with the night. He said what God desired and what he desired to give God. He said, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I find it very interesting that the psalmist connects the daytime, the nighttime, with a three-letter word, and. The word and is a coordinating conjunction. We've talked about that before, and what that means is those two statements, the daytime that the loving kindness of God comes, and then the nighttime where the hardness comes, and I've got to pray more, and I've got to walk with God more in my life, they are put together with the word and. That means they are on the same level. God desires the daytime to look like the nighttime. The word night is not a stranger to the Bible, and it's not a stranger to us. It appears 313 times in the Scripture. The word night in the Bible, it is first given in the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse number 5. But as the Scripture goes on and on and on, it comes to mean more than that time when the sun isn't shining. It doesn't just have a physical meaning, but it also begins to carry with it a spiritual meaning, a proverbial meaning. It means more than what it's saying, although it only says a little bit. The nighttime in the New Testament as we come, and in the Old Testament, it comes to symbolize a time of lowness. It comes to symbolize a time when we find that there is not as much victory as there used to be. That lowness may come through a mental breakdown. It may come through a relational breakdown. It may come through a spiritual hardship. And it's that time when we classify, somebody ask, how you doing? And the old-timers used to say, well, I'm in a night season right now. And what they meant by that is that they were in a place where there wasn't as much victory. There wasn't as much going on as it used to be. There are people here today, you're in that lowness, that night season. There's not as much victory in your walk with Christ. There's not as much victory in the things that God is doing in your life. And then there's some of you that are in that low place, and it's because of a physical sickness. It's because of a mental breakdown. It's the hormones and the chemicals and the whatever the doctor told me the other day is wrong with me. It may come because of a medicine that you have had to come off of or that you need to get on, but it's a lowness and you just don't feel the closeness that you felt with the Lord. And people will ask you, what is wrong with you? And all you know how to say is, I just feel like I'm in a night season. People say, what does it mean to be in a night season? Try explaining a night season to somebody that's only known sunshine. Somebody that's only known what it's like. I love parts of the world where crazy things happen. We have a missionary that we support up in Alaska. It used to be in Alaska. And there are parts of Alaska that go through 30 days of sunshine. Now imagine a baby being born on day one of that sunshine, and if that baby could speak and you told them, just wait till the night comes, that baby would have no idea what you're talking about. You can't understand night until you have been not in the night, but in the day and are no longer in the day. But on the flip side of that, you got somebody like me coming along saying that there is a God that is God of the night. It also comes to mean a time of weakness. I love everybody that comes into our assembly. I love the young people. I love the skinny people. I love the old people. I love the fat people. I love the white people. I love the black people. I like the poor people. I like the middle class people. I like the rich people. I like the people that drive nice cars. I like the people that have to walk here. I like people that exercise. I like people that eat pie all the time. I just like people. It doesn't matter to me. People are people and they're made in the image of God and God desires. But there's one group of people that I feel that I relate to a little bit easy, and that's what I call the golden oldies. The old people. Those people that they're in what I call the they're in the, I hate to break this to you, but you're on the back nine of life, if you know what I'm saying. Not long till you get to the clubhouse. One reason I like old people is because of their wisdom. Another reason I like old people is because most of the old men are still married to the old women, and the old women cook 3 meals a day, and but there are some seniors in here and you feel that you're not in that lowness of life, but you feel that you're in that weakness of life. The strength that you used to have is just not there. And you keep telling the Lord, Lord, if you would give me my strength back, I could serve you and the daytime would come back again. But you wake up tired and you go to bed and you can't sleep. Sickness racks your body and disease has come along and taken the strength out of your bones. Some of you ladies are afraid to walk when there's even water on the ground, lest you twist an ankle and the osteoporosis having torn the strength out of the vigor of your bones. And somebody like me comes along and can I help old people right quick? If a young man comes along and asks you how you're feeling, he just really wants to hear you say, wonderful, son. I do not need to hear you tell me everything wrong. Number one, it makes me sick. When you tell me some of the things that I get told, no wonder I stay so skinny. I have no appetite. But the second thing don't ever tell a young man is this. You wait till you get my age. Can I say something? I pastor Baptist. I'll never make it to your age. It ain't happening. I'm not going to know what it's like to be an old man. I will die a young man. I've come to grips with this. But I come to you and I say, how are you feeling? And some of you, from your heart, you mean it. Your heart breaks and you say, I just wish I had the strength that I had to serve the Lord. And you're in that night season of what the Bible refers to as weakness. But then there's a third, and I think there's more people in this congregation than would lift a hand. You're in the night season because nights become known as times of sadness. Maybe it was a situation that just didn't work out like you wanted it to work out. Maybe it was a disease that came upon you and it's just not what you thought that it would be like. You thought you would get to grow old with somebody, but death invaded your home and ripped them out of your life. And maybe you don't understand why you battle with that depression. You don't understand why you struggle with this. And you say, I'm a child of God and I love the Lord, but I don't understand why that I suffer, why my body just seems to be breaking down. You say there's not as much vibrance in the lowness of life. There is victory. There's not as much victory, but in the sadness of life, there's not as much vibrance. I talk to you and I come by and I say, how you feeling? And while you tell me fine, your face betrays your speech. And then when you put a smile on, your eyeballs betray your smile because your eyes are the window into your soul, and what you feel down in your soul comes out through the windows of your body. Brothers and sisters, there are people, and that nighttime has come upon you. Can I encourage you for just a little second, right quick, and say, John the Revelator said at 95 years old on the rock Isle of Patmos in the book of Revelation that there is coming a city, and in that city there will be no more night. There will be no more sadness. There will be no more seasons of weakness. There will be no more seasons of lowness. There is coming a place where the people of God shall abide safe in the hands and in the arms of Christ, where Alzheimer's cannot rip it out of you, and divorce cannot pull it from you, and death cannot destroy you, and depression cannot take over you. There will be no more night, but until we get there, God comes along and says, child, you will go through the night. If you don't remember anything I tell you, remember this statement. God is not just God in the night. He is the God of the night. There's a big difference in that. If you say that somebody is God in the night, you are saying that they just happen to be in a place when something shows up. But when you say he's not God in the night, he is the God of the night, you are not just saying he was there when it got there and he'll handle it while it's there. When you say he's God of the night, you are saying he's the one that brought it there. He's the one that keeps it there. He's the one that stands there, and he's the one that makes it go when it leaves. He is not just God in the night. He is God of the night. Let me help you and give you just about five or six statements that you can write down that you might know that God is God of that night season. Number one, remember this. It was God that created the night. It was the Lord God of heaven, El Shaddai, that created the nighttime. Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 5, the Bible says, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. The Bible says that just like God made the sun to shine in the day, he put the earth spinning on its axis and made sure that there would be a side of the earth that did not know the day and they were in the night. I asked myself the question. I asked the Lord the question this morning. God, why in the world would you create a night? Why would you not just give an earth where we always had sunshine? And the scripture declares that the reason God gives us the night is because it is the greatest lesson about the soul and the spirit of man. The Bible tells us that you and I know our spiritual condition because of the night. Think about it. Number one, when you are in the night, you are in darkness. You have no light. You have nothing to guide you. You cannot wake up when you want to wake up and sleep. You are overwhelmed by darkness. Do you know what the Bible says about every white, black, red, purple, blue, green man, woman, boy, girl? You know what he says about them? He says you are born into your father Adam's race, and you are born into your father Adam's sin. I was born a sinner, I'll die a sinner. You were born a sinner, and you'll die a sinner, because sinners die. All sinners die. I love it when people try to make it a race thing or a gender thing or an ethnicity thing. Can I tell you something? I'll be as equal opportunity as I can. White people die, black people die, red people die, purple people die, yellow people die, men people die, women people die, boy people die, girl people die. Even the people in our day that don't understand, they think that they're somewhere in between. They will die as well, because we are all born sinners, and sin brings death when it is done. And the darkness tells us that we have no light. Number two, do you know what tells us that the darkness tells us and the night tells us? It tells us that the only light comes from one source, and that source is the S-U-N. Do you know what brings darkness and turns it into light? When the sun rises up in the morning. Do you know what will make the morning turn that into the night? When the sun is not shining. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know what turns a nighttime into morning? It's when the sun gets up. Can I tell you what the Bible declares? Let me put my preacher pants on and say there is but one thing that will take the darkness of sin and despair out of your life. It's when the S-O-N of God arises up in your heart and the day star comes your way. You can't get it out by the olive way. You can't get it out by the Buddha way. You certainly won't get it out the Baptist way. You can't get it out an Episcopal way, a Methodist way. You can't get it out a Catholic way. You can't get it out a baptismal way. You can't even get it out a chair way. You may like pews. You can't get it out a pew way. You can't get it out a sheetrock way. You may like chandeliers. You can't get it out a chandelier way. And you can't get it out a pulpit way. You can't get it out a glass pulpit, organ way, guitar way, piano way. There is but one way, honey, and that is when the Lord Jesus Christ arises up in your heart and calls you and draws you to the Lamb of God. You can be born again. Your darkness, your sin, it can be washed away. But let me remind you, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you know what I like about the sunrise? I love waking up to see the sunrise. Here's what I like about the sunrise. Wherever the sun touches, darkness has to flee. There is nowhere darkness can hide when the sun is shining. You say, I've got hidden sin. I tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll wash away the hidden sin. You say, I've got known sin. I'm telling you, the Lord Jesus Christ will wash away the known sin. You say, I've got bad sin. Aren't you glad the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever He comes into, He will wake you and shake you and take you to glory, honey. He is the light of God. He's the Lamb of God. He's the goodness of God. He's the hope of God. He's the grace of God. He's the love of God. He's the help of God. He's the anvil of God. He's the Lamb of God. He's the love of God. He's the grace. He's the mercy. He's the peace. He's the hope. He's Christ Jesus our Lord. And He's above all. And He's in all. And He's better than all. And He's greater than all. And He's higher than all. And He's lower than all. And He's wider than all. And He's deeper than all. He's Christ. He's Lord. He's Savior. He's Master. He's Redeemer. He's Deliverer. He's the Fountain Filler. He's the Bread Maker. He's the Wine Maker. He's the River Splitter. He's the Water Splitter. He's the Mountain Heaper. He's the Star Flicker. He's the Sunshiner. He is good. He is holy. It's Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus alone. Now watch this. What the night teaches about our condition. You ready? Number one, it shows us the darkness of our sin. Number two, it shows us the only light is Christ. Number three, what shines in the night? The what? The moon. But what is so different about the moon than the sun? Does the moon shine or does the moon reflect? Now, I don't know about the new Common Core education, but back when people were normal and the teachers could actually be teachers, you know what the teachers told me? I'm going to tell you what Miss Gross taught me. Miss Gross. You know, when I was in school, I struggled. You'd struggle too if you had it going on like I do up there. I look on that little card they give me that tells me who my teacher's going to be. What do you think people like me are going to do when they pull up the card and the teacher's name is Miss Gross? Well, I don't want to be disrespectful, and I can't say gross without sounding gross. So I'd call her all types of names. Miss Grouchy. Miss Grokey. And for some reason, Brother Randy, she didn't want to call me anything other than Mr. Golden. She'd say, "Hello, Mr. Golden." I'd say, "Hello, Miss." And I knew I was about two demerits away from military school. So I would say, "Hello, Miss Gross." But you know what Miss Gross taught me in science? She taught me that the moon has no light of its own. And the only way it shines is if it reflects the sun. And as long as it reflects the sun, it will be able to give light in the night. Do you realize the moon is a type of the Church of Jesus Christ? We have no light to give to this world. But as the body of Christ comes together in the night seasons that the world is in, as we reflect the Lord Jesus Christ to them, as we shine the glory of God to them, as God reflects off of our life and reflects onto their life, the brighter we shine depends on how much we look like Jesus Christ. And that is why God created the night. Number two, the fact that you experienced the night indicates you've experienced the day. You can't have and understand night unless you've been in the daytime. If you take those same group, that 30 days in Alaska of light, do you know what happens at the end of that rotation? Miss Gross, she told me that after the 30 days of light, there was then 30 days of darkness. Can you imagine a baby being born on day one of the darkness? trying to explain to them the light. Now, you and I both know nobody can understand the night unless you've been in a day. And some of you are at that low place in life, that weak place in life, that discouraged place in life, and you say, God, why am I in this night season? Why don't we change the way we think? Because the fact that you know you're in the night indicates that at one time you were in the day. Brothers and sisters that are my senior citizens, and you say, I wish I had the strength that I used to have. Why don't you step back and say, Lord, I want to glorify you for the years of strength that you did give me. I want to praise you for the wisdom that you did give me. Those of you that don't have the financial resources you had yesterday, instead of whining and complaining, why don't you let God get glory by you bowing on your knee and saying, Lord, I want to thank you for what you did yesterday in the daytime. I may be in the night. Why don't some of you that have buried loved ones, I know it's painful. I know it's hard, but instead of dwelling in that night and just looking down at the darkness, lift your eyes up to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Father, I want to thank you for the husband you gave me all those years. I want to thank you for the wife you gave me all those years. I want to thank you for letting me have that baby. You say, I never got to hold it. Well, thanks be unto God. We're going to a city where there is no more night and there is no more separation. And forever and forever and forever, you can dwell with the Lord and hand in hand with that blessed baby that was covered by the grace of Almighty God. You can raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And if you don't think that's good enough, I'll tell you what God's going to do to some of you. Some of you weren't able to have kids in this life, and some of you weren't able to have babies in this life. I'll tell you what God's going to do. God's going to set up God's little sunshine day care, because there's going to be a lot of little babies that don't have moms and dads up in heaven, and God's going to need somebody to take care of them. I'll tell you what he's going to do. He's going to build you a little building, and in that little building he's going to set you up a little daycare, and he's going to give you about 10 million little snot slingers that you're going to get to watch until the roll is called up yonder and heaven is over. By about year number one, you say, God, how much longer do I have to do this? I don't think you'll be that way, but here is what you will say, Lord, whether I get them down here or whether I get them up there, God, you're going to give them. I want to thank you that one day the sun will shine. That one day it did shine. I thank you for the night because it shows me there was a day. Number three, one thing you've got to understand about the night is that God still speaks in the night. God still speaks. So many times we get into these night seasons and we keep asking, God, where'd you go? What are you doing? Watch what the Bible says. Genesis chapter 46, verse number 2. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night. Do you know why God sends some of us into the night seasons? Because we're so busy in the day seasons, we do not listen to Him. And God will send us into the night seasons, and we get so mad because the sun isn't shining. Get so mad because it's not as bright as it used to be. It's not as strong. Could it not be that our Lord has taken you into this dark place of life so that you sit still and so you don't move and so you don't go anywhere? Because the Lord is trying to speak. Because the Lord is trying to do something. Brothers and sisters, don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to the demons. Don't even listen to your own flesh. Your God is still God of the night and will speak just like He does in the daytime. Listen to this one. Here's another one. God's greatest victories come in the night. God's greatest victories have come in the night. There are two pivotal days. One of the pivotal days is in the Old Testament, and that's to the nation of Israel. And the other pivotal day is in the New Testament, and it's to the church of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament pivotal day was a day after the 10th plague in Egypt, and it was the day when the death angel came down to Egypt, and the scripture says when he saw the blood, he passed over. Exodus chapter number 12 and verse number 30, after the Passover, watch this. And Pharaoh rose up in the night. And he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night. And he said, rise up, and get you forth from among my people, ye and the children of Israel, go and serve the Lord. Here's what you've got to understand, beloved. Maybe God didn't bring the night season into your life just for you. We have got to stop living this life that everything is about us, that all this is about us. All of our problems are about us. All of our sicknesses are about us. What if it has nothing to do with you? You are just a piece in the game of God. Here's what I'm trying to get you to understand. There are people and they say, I don't know why God has given me this sickness. Maybe God didn't give you this sickness so you would slow down. Maybe he gave it so a loved one of yours might slow down. And if they got the sickness, they wouldn't slow down. But because they are sick, you will now slow down. Maybe God has sent you into this low season because pride has so built you up. And now you don't know what else to say. But Lord, I need your help. Maybe you're in that night season of life and you've been saying, God, I'm going to go, do, be, accomplish. And God says, I want you to wait. Here's what you've got to understand. God brings the night so that everyone can see the victory. You say, when the second victory happened? Matthew chapter number 27 and 28. Mark chapter number 15 and 16. Luke chapter number 22. And John chapter number 20. The Bible says our Lord Jesus Christ is put in the ground on day one. Day two comes, and then that third resurrection morning. Do you know the Bible makes the strangest statement? He says, and when the third day dawned. You say, wait a second, that's the sun. It is to an English mindset, but do you know how the Jews reckon their day? Their day began when the sun went down. So here is when our Lord Jesus Christ got up out of the grave, when the sun went down and the night began to flare in the sky. The Bible says God, through the power of the Holy Ghost, sent a heavenly wake-up call down to that garden tomb, and he went in there with the power of the Holy Spirit, woke Jesus up by his own power. God himself got up out of that grave. On his belt loop was the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Do you know when that victory came? Right when the night had set on. Here's what God's trying to say. God puts you in a night season so he can give you a great victory. What do you mean a great victory? How can God get great victory out of the place that I'm in, the weakness that I'm in? Are you ready for this? You do realize that when it's nighttime and everybody's gone and you have no strength and God starts to doing something, people are going to look at you and say, old man, how did you accomplish that? And you won't have any other strength but to lift your eyes up and say, God gave me the victory. And when you have no power in your own self and your mind's going crazy and you bring help and relief to somebody, they're going to look at you and say, my God, you were a bundle of mess too. How did you give me wise counsel? You'll be able to lift up your hands to the heavens and say, I was in a night season, but I knew the night light. Say amen right there. You say, who did you know? I knew the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's God that gave the victory, and it's God that gives the power. He's the God of the night. I got one more. Can I give it to you? Yeah. Here's the last one I want to give to you. God expects the same from his people in the night seasons as he does in the day. God expects the same from the people of God in the night as he does in the day. How many of you get in that night season? This what? I love you old people. I love you. But y'all just as crazy as the young ones. I love it when old people, they use this line. They say, I've just gotten so old, I guess it's time to let somebody else do it. Why? Nighttime for me. But you know, God expects the same from you in the night as He does in the day. You say, how do you know? Let me give you a couple of verses. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 8. Joshua is told by God, he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. He said, I want you to meditate when the sun is shining, and I want you to meditate when the night comes upon you. Watch what it says in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 3. Paul the apostle on his death march, on his way to be offered. This is what he said. He said, I thank God whom I served from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. You say, I'm down. What does that have to do with your labor for Christ? You say, I'm old. You've just become more valuable. You say, I don't have any strength. Last time I checked, that's when God does His greatest work. Because in your weakness, His strength is made I'm so broken, I can't even get out of the bed. Isn't it wonderful that you can pray in the bed just like you can pray on an altar? We have got to stop with the excuses in our life. God took my husband, he was the spiritual one. Maybe God's trying to work on you now to make you the spiritual one. God took my husband's health, took my wife's health. Maybe God knows He's going to get the most glory out of you. And then when you get to heaven, my mother-in-law kills me. She's watching right now. Michael, get in here close. Scott, you met my mother-in-law? Yes. So you know what I'm talking about. So you got a good mother-in-law. You got a good one too, son. Yeah, shut up. No talk for you. She came to my house yesterday to pick up Eric and the kids to go to the beach. She just bought a new Buick. It's not the big one, but it's not the tiniest one. It's like the middle one. I don't know. If I knew the name, I'd say it. What is the other one? I don't know, but it's tiny. She gets there, and this year they've invited my mother-in-law's mother, Nancy, who is a jewel. She truly is a jewel. And I've been telling my wife, I said, now, honey, listen, y'all going to have to take your car, your SUV. There's no way all y'all's junk's going to fit in the back of hers. I can tell you right now, it's not going to happen. I said, but I'm not saying a word to you, Mama. We all know how that would go, right? Yeah. And she gets there, and I roll out. Now, y'all know how women are when they pack, and my wife has got a lot of products. And I ain't gonna say much. I ain't saying nothing. I mean, you don't get this, you don't get that flip in the front with just a little comb you get at the barber shop. That right there has got a lot of big sexy on it. Say amen right there. She pulls in, Corey, and I roll out my wife's suitcase, the kid's suitcase, the sand toys, the, you know, just stuff you take to the beach, nothing extravagant. And I open up my mother-in-law's trunk. I could have worked with full. Packed. And this is what she said. God bless it, woman. God bless her. She said, it's going in this car. I said, Cindy, I don't know what to tell you. I can tell you, it ain't going in there. I said, it may go in the whole car, but somebody ain't going to the beach. And she said, no, it's going in the car. And I'm sensing something's bigger than what I'm sensing. She said, I'm not listening. My husband, before I left, said, there ain't no way it's all going in. And I'm not listening to him. It's going in. You know what I did? I packed like a real man. I got every stitch of clothing, suitcase, all of it. I mean, I got it all in that SUV. I'm going to drive it tonight, so I want y'all to see. And when I shut the trunk, alarms started going off. It's one of these brand new vehicles. And I mean, have you ever tried to close a motorized trunk without using the motor? Hit, poo, poo. I'm like, Cindy, I'm going to dent your car. Shut the trunk! I'm telling you, not right. Finally, she said, just take it all out. Put it in Erica's trunk. I guess I'll just listen to him. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. They're all getting ready to be out of my life for 7 straight days. Put it in the trunk, put it in the attic, I don't care. I took all that stuff, I put it in Erica's trunk. There was room they could actually see out the top. And I backed up, and you know that button that closes the trunk on Erica's? I went, psst. Erica, get your mama. What she said. I guess I should have just dropped my reasoning and done it your way. Now we'll laugh at somebody else, but the excuse we use as to why we don't honor the Lord like we used to, walk with the Lord like we used to, we've got all types of excuses. But you don't know my night. And God says, I expect the same out of you in the night as I do in the day. God has brought you to the night season. He made that night season. And He expects you to honor Him in that night season and shine.